Hey Amanda.
Hey, Ann, how are you?
I'm good. My kids are in their tennis class right now and they get out at 7:30. So once they get back, I'll have to drive them home and then I'll try to pop back on after that.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Really busy, but good.
Yeah, busy with work or
This and Marianne's campaign and
Right.
work. All three.
Yeah. How's the campaign going?
It's going. I mean, it is slow to get up and running because she doesn't have like a campaign manager or anything. So we're leveraging staff from the statewide party. Yeah, I mean, things are going good. We're getting there to the point we need to be to qualify for the funds. So,
Oh,
hey,
good.
Jen, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. So today I'm trying earbuds. I know that in the past, like I got a lot of feedback. Is it good now? Okay, that's great. Thanks.
Know Rhea said she couldn't make it, but she's the only one I've heard from that said they couldn't make it. So I hope you have your AC on in the car. It is hot out.
Yes. Yeah, and our house AC is not really working very well, so I'm better off here.
We've got flies in our house, but like things are. Has anybody else heard from anybody that they can't make it? Usually Paul is on real early. And you got I sent out two emails, right? I think. Okay.
I got them.
These days, I can't remember what I sent out and what I didn't. I was frantically searching at work today for an email that I swore I wrote. And I did. I just, you send so much stuff, it's like needle in a haystack, but trying to find it afterwards.
I know that's really what happens with email, you know? And then like I don't know how you do it, but with me, if once it drops off the first page, forget it. It's just no man's land.
Yes, with and that's what I don't like about Gmail. Like with Outlook, you see each one individually, but with Gmail, it becomes this massive finding attachments from like it's very challenging. You've noticed that the town did not post the agenda or packet for today. I just went in to, like normally I pull it up from there just to pull whatever's on the site, but I let them know so. I did send it in time for them to post it. Hey, John, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, John.
Hiya. Where are
We
you?
the kids are in tennis class and they'll be out at 7:30, so
Oh, there you
then
are.
you'll see yeah, then you'll see me disappear for a few minutes while I drive home.
Oh,
Where
okay.
do they do tennis?
Magic Linzer Tennis Club in Manchester.
Okay.
We do need six people for it to be a quorum. So we haven't had a quorum for our last two meetings. So I'm going to have to try and we're
Yeah,
accumulating.
sorry about that. I had things both of those Thursdays, May and June.
If you thought that it was on Thursday, that could be why you weren't there because it's Tuesday, John.
Oh, did I just say Thursday? Oh, well, I tried on the right day, whatever it's called.
Do we have a Democratic DTC on Thursday this week?
Thursday, the 20-somethingth. Yes.
Oh, I thought it was the third Thursday. It's the fourth Thursday.
Fourth. It's a fourth Thursday. And I have the minutes. I will get the Zoom instructions and send out an email, hopefully this weekend.
I don't know why I thought it was the third Thursday because last month it fell on the same week as the GT, as this meeting.
Yeah, that's calendars are funny sometimes.
Well, should we? I wait 2 more minutes until 7:05, and hopefully more people will join.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, well, almost close.
I haven't heard from Milton or Dan in a while. Rhea told me she couldn't make it. Cheryl tends to join a little later. Yeah. And Paul is usually.
Paul is usually here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's our note taker.
Can you text Paula? I don't have her number.
Do I? I must. Yeah.
Yeah, last month was the third Tuesday, and the town committee was the fourth Thursday.
Gotcha.
Month started on Wednesday the 1st. I know it'll be the 28th.
Okay.
And August 25th. And September 22nd.
Sorry about the last minute materials that I sent out last night, guys. I was working on those on Sunday, so trying to squeeze in. I don't know, did everybody get it, the Word doc that I sent out?
I believe so, yep.
I'll pull it up on my screen anyways, but. I wonder if people are on vacation. And stalk them on Facebook.
Maybe it's just too hot.
It is that time of year when you're catching people during the vacation season.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have started. Kwan, can you take notes? Because Paul is not here. It's not hard. Call to order at 7:05 and who's in attendance. And then very vaguely what we go over. I can probably help. Oh, there's Cheryl. So now we have a quorum.
Oh, yay.
Yay. Hey, Cheryl, how are you?
Good.
You gave us a quorum. That's good news.
Oh, good. Hang on, I'm getting there.
Okay.
There I am.
Perfect. So we do have, I believe it was 3 sets of minutes to approve today, because we hadn't had quorums for the last 3 meetings. So I did send those out Tuesday, like a week ago. I don't know if people had a chance to review them or if anybody had any questions about them.
They look good to me when I read them.
Are we able, does anybody know if we are able to accept them all at once, or do we have to do a different motion for every single?
Each individual.
Yeah.
Okay. So we do have the first one in your packet. Are the minutes I started with the oldest to the newest. So the first minutes in the packet are from April 19th, 2022. Would anybody make a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
I'm trying to find mine.
I can resend it or try to resend it to.
Okay.
I've resent it to in case you can't find it. Any discussion on the minutes from April 19th before we take it to a vote? All in favor of passing the minutes from April 19th, say aye.
Aye.
That was everybody. So passes unanimously. All right, the next minutes are from May 17th meeting. Did anybody have any questions, comments, or concerns on those minutes?
I guess I wasn't at that meeting, so I cannot
Yeah, I wasn't there either.
Okay. Will someone that was there be willing to make a motion to vote on? All right, Jen?
Second.
And all in favor of passing the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All abstaining.
Aye.
True.
I'm sorry, I'm writing this down as well because I know I haven't taken notes before. Alrighty, moving on to our third set of minutes. We're getting there. The meeting from June, so it was myself, Kwan, Cheryl, Rhea, Paula, and I think that was it. Yes.
Yeah, there wasn't a quorum. There was only a couple of us.
Yeah, there were only five of us. Is anybody willing to make a motion to approve the minutes from June 21st, 2022?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
Any comments or discussion? All right, all in favor of passing those minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And then all abstaining. And it passes with four. Okay, perfect. All right. So now that we have gotten that out of the way, the next thing on our agenda is, guess what, surveys. We're pretty predictable here. I'm gonna have to find more time to set aside to work on the analysis. It does take quite a bit of time to work on it and write stuff up. So since the last meeting, I will share my screen. So last meeting, we kind of went over my Excel spreadsheet. So since then, I think last meeting, we went over the weighted averages for each question. Since our last meeting, I added the favorable or unfavorable rating percentage. So it's just another way of looking at the data. Some people will prefer to see the weighted averages, and others will prefer to see which how high the percentage of favorability rating was. So basically, if they rated it fair or good, good or excellent, good or excellent, that was considered favorable. If they rated it fair or poor, that was considered unfavorable. Don't know was just not included in the count. And so I did that for every single piece of every single question as well. So you will see that mostly. And the reason I did that was to, because that was the format I had chosen for the draft copy that I was putting together, the draft report. So this is what I sent out last night. This is so far my proposed table of contents. I think the only thing that's missing in here would ultimately be an executive summary at the very top, just kind of pulling together the salient points from the document. I'm trying to get it where I can see all of you at once in case some of you want to talk or raise your hand. Thought that we should probably put in a section about the Diversity Commission, explaining who we are, why we were created, and why we decided to do a survey. Then the methodology, including how we developed the survey and survey distribution. And then there was another section here that did not seem to make the, let's see here, what happens if I hit. There we go. Survey analysis also goes under the methodology section. Then we go into results, which is basically just laying out the facts. Like this is these are the responses that we got. And so I broke it up into sections already. So demographics of respondents. So this is where we look at who responded to the survey and compare it to the overall makeup of the town of Bolton. So you saw in the document that I started to do that. Looking at the 2020 census. Then general I broke it up by question, basically. So questions 1 through 5 were pretty similar in terms of they were rated poor to excellent. And so I grouped them together because the analysis was kind of done the exact same way. Question 6 was the personal experience question, which was on a scale of strongly disagree to strongly agree. Experience of discrimination was, had they experienced discrimination based on a certain identity in the last 5 years? Yes or no. Diversity level was out of, on a scale of 1 to 9, how much diversity do you think the town should have? So kind of grouping it by how to look at it, and then the narrative questions together, which I haven't had a chance to look at. And then in the analysis, that's where we would look at the slicers, right? So once I have a chance to implement the slicers, how did, you know, people of color respond differently than white people? How did females respond differently than males? And then on the results and the analysis, what are our recommendations to the city? I'm really elevating us now to our, what are to our small town. So where I was thinking that folks could help with writing the draft for me is the blurb on the diversity commission and a blurb on the how we developed the survey. Jen, if you might want to take a stab at that, because I know you worked on it with me. And then survey distribution. So these only require like a paragraph each.
Yeah, I can do those, like the description of the diversity commission and the 2 things about the survey.
Oh, that'd be great. If you're willing to take on both, that'd be awesome. And then once I get the analysis done, we're probably gonna have to have a meeting just to kind of go over what we think it means by looking at the different responses. Or I can try and come up with something in between. So really what I was able to pull together in terms of writing stuff was explaining the analysis. So explaining kind of what I've gone over with you guys already, which is the weighted scaling and the favorable or unfavorable, those ratings. And then because I created binary categories, I had to explain how we created those binary categories from the data that was collected. So that's what this is, explaining how I got military participation, yes or no. So like what answers I grouped together to create those binary factors. So military participation, BIPOC, post-secondary education, minority sexual education, minority gender identity, and then other questions that already were binary in response. And so that includes, did they have a disabling condition? Was English their language of preference, and are they an immigrant? And then non-binary factors that we might use for analysis, a political affiliation, simple race. I can call it whatever we want, but that's what I called it in the analysis, as opposed to the complicated race, it was the simple race categories. And then others, so income bracket and age, and religion. I didn't distill those into smaller categories, and then Bolton status. And so basically these are our slicers. Everything that I listed above are the things we would use to look at the data. And then kind of delved into the number of responses we've gotten compared to the number of people in town. So it represented a 4.1% response rate out of all adults in town. Trying to come up with the best graphic display for each demographic, because you don't want to do a table for everything, that gets boring visually. So did a pie chart for ages, and then compared that to the ages in the census and explained the differences. So our survey respondents were more likely to be 35 to 40, but much less likely to be 18 to 24. Other than that, the other categories are pretty similar. So I don't know if someone wanted to tackle this part of the draft for me. It basically requires looking at demographic responses and looking at the census data, or looking to find if there's data anywhere to compare it to, and doing some data manipulation to come up with these comparisons. Maybe Paula might want to do it. I know she offered to help with some stuff.
It's you should nominate Paula.
I mean, I second it.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is that, like, it's not always. So, for instance, for the 2020,
I have no clue.
The age percentages that they gave in the census itself are for everybody, right? And I needed the percentages of people that were just adults, and so I had to, you know, export the data and manipulate it and come up with new percentages. So it's just, you know, just making sure that we're comparing apples to apples and not apples to oranges. And then respondents by race. And so then I would delve into this kind of similar analysis between the respondents in the survey and the makeup of the town. And then I did general results. So this is where I pulled the tables in. So here's your average rating that I showed you, which is the, you know, the first table, and then the favorability score is over there. So the favorability response, how many people gave a favorable response. And then originally I had the number of don't know responses and the percentage of don't know responses, but thought it would be better to frame it positively. So these are the number of responses and the percentage of responses. So obviously the more people who respond, the more valid the response is. So like, for instance, this one, providing equal employment opportunities, only had 55% of people respond to it. I'm not going to dig into like the nitty gritty of what that means, because then I'd have to go back and pull out my stats book from grad school. But ultimately, it just means that the higher the response rate, the more valid the data is, because more people responded to it. So I did this for every single question. And explained how I put together to get the, how I created the score and how I grouped things together to get the favorability rating. And then for the level of diversity, I just portrayed it as a bar chart. It gave an average, and I might make that stand out more because it kind of gets hidden in the writing, but the average desired level of diversity, go lay down, was a 6.8 out of 10. And that's kind of as far as I got to take. I got to find time to set more time aside to work on this. I mean, I like it, but it takes a lot of time to do it. And I've got a deadline. So I don't know if there's parts people want to help with. I mean, we may have recommendations already just from our conversations and some of the anecdotal stuff we've had and talked about in terms of the responses thus far. I know, Jen, thank you. You offered to work on the first two sections.
I'm also wondering, what about people's responses to the open-ended questions? When does that come into it?
Here. It's just blank thus far. Okay. So I do have those in my, over here, they're all listed. They're very teeny right now, so that I could see them all together. But the idea is that I'm gonna go and highlight like responses in certain colors and group them together and, you know, just kind of, there's no way to obviously like really numerically or quantitatively analyze the narrative responses. So I'll have to come up with more of a qualitative explanation of, you know, half of respondents gave a response that was favorable towards this, or, you know, we'll have to, and you say some examples of favorable responses were blah, 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 blah. So kind of pick and choose, you know, and then obviously some of these, like, well, you can't see that because that's way too small. But for this question, a bunch of people said, no, none. So that's easy. Like, I can group that together and explain that. But yeah, that's on the list of to be done. So, that's where that is now. I'm a little worried about time, but I will figure it out.
And then I assume we're going to do kind of the same idea for the school survey.
Yeah, I won't be able to because I just won't have time. I think I can't remember if I sent it to Paula and Rhea at the end of the last meeting, but they were willing to take a stab at it. So, yeah, I mean, and that one should be a little easier because it's 45 responses compared to 182. But yeah, Paula said if I gave her my document, which now that it's kind of finalized, it should be easier to do to send it to her, and she can just kind of do the same thing, I think. So, yes, the goal.
Yeah.
I think we're hiring consultants. We're doing the best we can. But yeah. Any other pieces you guys think should be in the overall table of contents that you think is missing here? Somewhere together at the end, but.
No, I mean, I think it looks really great. I think you've really done an excellent job so far. I mean, obviously it's not finished and we need to contribute work to this. If you're able to kind of coach me through some part, I'd be willing to, you know, take a stab at something. I feel like I'm a little out of my depth here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of winging it. A little bit as I go. It all makes sense to me in the end, but like, you know, this is the first project of this magnitude that I've done. A lot of, I'm usually answering a much smaller evaluation question. But I'll be doing this for work as well again soon. So I think where I'll really need help that I got to figure out how we can best do this is on the analysis piece. Once I add this and see how things shake out, kind of figuring out what that means or what recommendations can come from that, I guess. That's where help will be needed. I guess my goal would be to spend most of our August meeting on that, unless folks want to have an interim meeting if we're going to get this to the board by September. I think we need a full meeting focused on, all right, this is what the data says, you know, what does that mean, I guess. Because I don't want to be doing that on my own, right? Like, I think we certainly need more eyes to be doing that.
This is all Greek to me. I'm sorry, I would be of no help at all.
Well, with the narrative questions, once I get to that part, that might make a little bit more sense. And I think that, like, if we can say that, you know, this is totally hypothetical, but if I say that every single person who identified as having a disability also said that yes, they've been discriminated on based on a disability, like, that lends itself very clearly to, we need to do something about this, right? So I think that's where, once we look at that data, you guys will be instrumental coming up with, what do we do? What are the recommendations we come up with for the town?
Yes, to me, I think the narrative questions are almost gonna be just as important as the other analysis, because especially if people gave detailed, specific feedback, I think the narrative part is, you know, very important too.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what question, like, I don't have the question written down here. What question 11 is? I think this was issues they've had in town. And so, I mean, they really did range and vary quite broadly. And then there's some weird things that happened with the writing. Someone didn't like the Let's Go Brandon sign. They probably put quotes or something in there and it ruined things. But so I have to group these together, I think, and then it'll be. So I think my goal will be to find time Yeah, I'll together and send you guys stuff out before the August meeting so that you have time to digest and look at it and come to the meeting prepared to discuss. Does anybody who's here absolutely know you won't be able to be at the August meeting, which I think unfortunately happens. I feel like it happens relatively early in the month. Oh, this is, I did not put the right next meeting on there, huh? Did I put it on here? Nope. Fail. Our next meeting, if I look at a calendar, is
the 23rd?
No, the 16th.
Yeah. 16th.
That's really early in the month, given my
August 16th.
Given what I know I have between now and then, it's really early in the month. Kwan's building a shed. We're redoing our deck. There's a lot in the campaign. There's a lot going on, but I will do my best to get as much out before that meeting as possible. So, don't want to beat a dead horse. Does anybody have anything else about the survey before we move on in the agenda? All right. So then you've got kids. Anna's going to have to go. hello, everybody. So the next thing item on the agenda was discussion of other commission activities, one of which was the possible book club. So if you were able to read the minutes, you may have seen that we discussed it. And I had talked to Liz at the library, and she was supportive and said that they would support us by giving us space, by getting us books. They even, you know, be willing to bring in, help us pay for and get guest lecturers or guest facilitators. And the idea was that folks would come to this meeting with a list of books that they thought might be good for this book club, particularly a list of books that might be good for the first book club to get people engaged in the process. So don't know if people came prepared with ideas. Jen, yeah, you came off mute. That means you have some stuff.
Yeah, I was just searching on Amazon, and there is a book called Blue Eyes, Brown Eyes by Stephen G. Bloom. I know that in my diversity and inclusion courses that study, the Blue Eyes, Brown Eyes, was like a pivotal part of the whole course. So I think that could be something of that nature, could be a good option.
What's the gentleman's first name?
Stephen Bloom.
Any other ideas?
Yeah, I actually have two, actually. So a book I have yet to finish that I find quite fascinating is called Tears We Cannot Stop by Eric Dyson. That name may sound familiar to some. If he's a contributor, actually, on NBC. He's also a professor at Vanderbilt University. And his book actually talks about racial profiling, racial inequities, and he kind of counts several different experiences through multiple generations, starting with his daughter, his own son, and he also goes into some experiences with some of his grandchildren. And he also talks about influences from Dr. Martin Luther King and touches a little bit on some of the teachings of Malcolm X. So I thought that was, from what I read thus far, very, very kind of intriguing. And I found it to be really relatable. It's written in terms of like as a sermon, and it's meant for, you know, multiple different ethnicities to go in, read, and take a look to see how, you know, racial inequities came about and, you know, the power struggles. And there's a second author that I also like to propose. The title is The Fire Next Time by Jane Baldwin. And it was actually written during the civil rights, so 1964, 1965. he actually wrote several different letters that was either to himself or to his own children. And it was kind of, it started off not so raunchy. It talked to, you know, also about, you know, civil rights, the struggles of, you know, power and religion. And it got into a concept of, you know, religion being a certain social construct to provide a certain classification and a way of life, and how at the beginning of founding of the country, religion was used to justify certain things. And it also talked about religion in the Black African-American culture, how at the beginning it kind of switched around. So the founding of the nation, everything was for, you know, white settlers were for based upon religion, and how religion and, you know, God, I use that term as a quote, how God was everything and promoted the righteousness or the right for certain opportunities. And then when it went to African Americans started off having land, and as this country became more built up, it kind of switched. It looked and talked about how African-Americans transitioned more to religion as an opportunity to try to explain how conditions were and how religion, especially in the, you know, the 60s, 80s, were very heavily influenced for African-Americans, while other ethnicities were looking for power in land and trying to accumulate wealth. So I found that to be very, very eye-opening by James Baldwin as well.
Well, what was the title of that one again? By James Baldwin?
The Fire Next Time.
The Fire Next Time. Thank you.
Someone, did you have anything you wanted to share? Before I jump in?
Go right ahead, Amanda.
Okay. So I was torn a bit, right? So I am very much, you know, power to the people, let's blow the house down, let's dive right in and start with white fragility and just throw it all out there, right? Let's make some enemies. No. But I, so I'm torn between books that are very straightforward and other. So was thinking that perhaps the better approach, or one possible approach, may be an approach where we make this, at least the first book club, more of a family affair by reading a book that perhaps parents could read with their adolescent children. And so where is my list? Was thinking, and I think I mentioned this last meeting, potentially books that were made into movies, but also have a really strong salient point, so we could read the book and potentially watch the movie. And so along those lines, I was thinking of The Hate U Give. So that's, I read it, but it's also like an adolescent novel about a young teenager and her friend, they're pulled over, her friend is shot and killed, and it's about the fallout from that event. So very salient in today's day. It's heavy, but it is from the point of view of teenagers, and it was turned into a movie. So I think it would be appropriate for I think it's a young adult book, I believe. So could be appropriate for younger folks. The Small Great Thing, that is a Jodi Picoult novel. So I was leaning more towards, I guess, fiction instead of nonfiction as a way to get people engaged first. So Small Great Things is about, an African-American nurse.
Yes.
Who I thought was pretty well done considering it's written by a white woman. You know, it's about an African-American nurse who's, you know, treating a patient in the hospital who says, I don't want you touching me and my baby because you're Black, basically. And then there's a medical emergency and she ultimately gets sued. And the book is about the case. going through the court system, and whether or not race is a salient factor that if she brings it up, would that hurt her case or make the case stronger? So quite a good book. The other one is a little more heavy, but also made for TV movie. And I think The Small Great Things might eventually get made into a movie if I saw correctly. Just Mercy. So really love The New Jim Crow, right? But that's intense. Like, it's intense. It's great, but it's intense. Just Mercy is, I think it's a true story, if I recall. It's a true story.
It's
an example and a story that kind of explains what things in The New Jim Crow are getting at in a less, I don't know, less fun way, I guess you could say. So just Mercy, it's more fictionalized. Like, it's a storytelling model. So you get the same point, but there's more story behind it and less kind of didactic. This is how the truth is. And it's about the social justice system, right? The lack of social justice in the justice system. And obviously that was made into a movie with Michael B. Jordan recently that did really well. So I have a laundry list of all these other more, I guess, intellectual books that I also think that we could do more along the lines of, you know, but those are heavier. And so I was leaning towards what could we do that could be a family affair and might lend itself to a movie night as well. I think that some people really connect to words, right? And other people really connect when they see people. And so I think to read the words on the page and then see an actor and see the emotions in front of you might impact people differently. That's where I was coming from.
I just want to, just in case I did not give the right author for Tears We Cannot Stop, just want to make that note now that it is Michael Eric Dyson.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. And since you kind of talked about some of the books being that you're recommending to be kind of like that introduction, I guess I'll go ahead and give my opinion on the two that I recommended. So The Fire Next Time by Jane Baldwin, I would say probably the first two essays are probably more that warming up icebreaker type of thing. And then it kind of gets a little bit heavier after that. Tears We Cannot Stop, I would say is between that icebreaker and intermediate zone.
And there are some...
I've read some of James Baldwin's essays, and it could be a little too much, I think.
Yeah.
You know, he tells it like it is.
He does.
You know, he does, which that's why I've read a lot of his stuff, because it's eye-opening. And Amanda, I've read all three of the books you spoke of. And Jodi Picoult is probably... because her point, she shows the characters from each point of view. You know, it's the couple with the baby, it's the nurse and her family, it's the supervisor. So it's that's what's good about Jodi Picoult. And I think maybe that might be more of, I don't know if that's made into a movie, but more of a wow, I never thought of that kind of thing. You know. The hate that you again a very heavy book, very well written. It's for teens, I think, right?
Yeah.
But I found it was an excellent book. I didn't sleep too well after reading it, if I remember correctly. And that was made into a movie. And then the third book was also made into a movie. And that is based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know, for our first book club, you know, if you want to do fiction as opposed to, you know, essays, that might be more of a way to try to get more people involved or something. I don't know. That's just my thought. There's also another book by Jodi called From a Gay Perspective, Two Women. And that's Sing Me Home. In fact, there's a CD with music in the book as well. And it's about this woman who is married, and then she gets divorced and falls in love with a woman. And while she was married to the man, they had put some frozen embryos and then never used them. They got divorced, and now she wanted to have the embryos with her new wife, and the husband didn't want her to have them. So it's, again, it's Jodi Picoult, you know, the husband's perspective, the wife's perspective, the new wife's perspective. So it's interesting. It's eye-opening. It's, you know, it gets you talking. It gets you thinking. Yeah. So, you know, I like her as an author.
I'm just struggling to figure out, like, we don't know who would be interested in this, right? Not yet. Anyways, we can put out feelers. I think that would be the next step on social media, is to put out feelers. And I mean, depending on if you get people who are, really interested in this topic, you might be willing to read anything, right? No matter how heavy, whether it's nonfiction, fiction, et cetera. But if we get people who are used to book clubs, who are kind of dipping their toes in the water, right. I'm worried about scaring people away right off the get-go with some.
Right.
And I know, that could be taken in different directions, right? Like, right? Do we need to do that? Do we need to be upfront with it and just lay it all out there? Or do we take it slowly? I mean, obviously, like, if this goes well, like, we're doing, ideally, I think we said we do it at least every quarter, maybe every 2 months. So you've got a lot of opportunity to do different books, right, over the years.
And you need a good facilitator, somebody who can get, ask the right questions to get people to talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been in a couple of book clubs through the library, and the gentleman is very good at doing that.
Person?
What's that?
Is it always the same person?
It has been initially through the library. It's always been the same facilitator.
Okay. She made it sound like they just used him sometimes. I guess there's I think he works for one of the universities or something.
Correct. And the books that he's picked in the last four books have been of two characters in the book and how they relate, and actually two authors as well. Each book was written by a different, two different people writing the same book. But, I wouldn't necessarily recommend him. I would just say we need to have a good facilitator that has a grasp of what we're trying to accomplish with, these books.
Yeah, I think, and depending on the book you get, you might be able to find questions online. You know, they often have guides. Whether we want to ask the library to pay for a facilitator, they did say they would be willing to do that if it was a book that they were interested in, or if one of us wants to facilitate. It's just that you need to make sure that you're ideally you're a neutral facilitator. Which I did like a whole 2-day training on neutral facilitating. Kind of challenging. Particularly when it's this kind of topic, right? But it's possible. So hi Anne. You brought us furry friends. I like it. So we mentioned there were several books that were raised. So Blue Eyes, Brown Eyes by Stephen Bloom. Tears We Cannot Stop by Michael Dyson, about racial profiling and inequities through the generations. The Fire Next Time by James Baldwin, which is letters to himself or his children, a lot about religion in the African diaspora. It's written in essay form, right? Or letter essay form. The Hate You Give, which is an adolescent book made into a movie about an African-American teenager who gets shot when he's pulled over for no reason. Small Great Thing, written by Jodi Picoult, about a nurse who is asked not to treat a white family's baby, and when something goes wrong, a lawsuit ensues, and You can imagine it, Just Mercy, which is about a person who's wrongly accused and him going through the court system, and then Sing Me Home by Jodi Picoult, which is about a woman who divorces a man and ends up married to a woman, and her desire to use frozen embryos from her first marriage to have a kid with her new wife. So lots of options on the table, and we were just kind of debating what kind of book would be good for the first book to get people enticed. And so I guess the question would be, like, if we're putting it out there in terms of soliciting who would be interested, do you think the best approach is to say, hey, we want to do a diversity focused book club, who would be interested? Or do you think it should be, hey, we're doing a diversity focused book club, our first book is this, who's interested? Like, do you think it's better to be broad and vague and get main interest, or to give them an actual book and see who takes the bite?
Maybe if we start out by something very classic, that's a banned book, To Kill a Mockingbird. It's also a movie.
Yeah, it has been banned.
People have seen it. Yeah.
It's also been read by everybody in school. That was my...
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that probably haven't read it. I don't know, but...
That is a classic.
It would be a classic to begin with because it's so well known. And we'll see where the controversy really is here, because it is based on a small town. Well, bigger than Bolton, but small. We don't have a
Southern court. Bolton.
The girl that originally played Scout in the movie is now playing one of, like, the old obnoxious neighbors in the play on Broadway, according to NPR.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, I read about
that. I must have listened to that this morning. Approach, or one that I also read in school, Night by Elie Wiesel.
Wiesel.
Frank, you know, there's a lot of.
Yep.
You know, I guess my preference would be to, you know, announce it, say that we're doing it, and, you know, call for participation and say, here are some of the books that we're considering. And then, you know, see who shows up and then choose the books, or choose the book. I mean,
at the first meeting, choose a book?
Or, I mean, if you could get signups in advance and have people choose it before, then yeah.
Yeah, you can do a ranked choice survey with a very specific set of people.
Juan,
you have an idea?
Well, I was just trying to think of, you know, when I was in high school and we had a summer reading list, and the summer reading list, you could choose out of, you know, a certain number of books, and coming after, you know, after summer vacation, the teacher would actually pick two books to actually do discussion and review on. So not just doing one particular book, but giving the option to have two books be reviewed and have a discussion on, not just one book, just to give a little bit of flexibility and opportunity. You know, somebody may read the synopsis of one book and be like, you know what, this may not interest me as much, but this second one, this one actually I have a little bit more interest in, and I'll read that one and hope to bring that to discussion at the time.
As a facilitator, I would never, unless they were related, I would never do two books at once, because that would just get really, like, you could do one in one book club and one at the next one, but I mean, unless there's like a link between them and a reason why you're doing them together, I wouldn't have two random books be discussed. Like, because it's hard. And I don't know, Cheryl, you've been part of the meetings, but like, you can discuss a lot from just one book. And if you're doing two books, you're talking about a really long, depending on how many people there are, you want people to be able to have enough discussion about the one book and feel like they've been able to say what they need to say about one book and not feel rushed. Right.
I guess I wasn't necessarily, I wasn't implying having both discussions on the same night, but actually having a separate, so you give people options. You know, if you want to attend this particular book review, you come here and at this date, we're going to have this secondary book review.
And that's what the library did. They gave what the four next books would be, each one each month. They said, here's our books that we have for these next four months. And you can pick and choose which discussion you wanted to join, whether you read the book or not. I mean, most everybody read the book. And so I know what you're saying, Quan. We probably should pick four books. We're not going to... The book club that if through the library, I think there were most seven people. So, you know, I don't know how many we would get that way. But it's a start. It's a start. We have to start the conversation somewhere. And we have to start it soon.
Yeah. Why don't we follow their pattern? Because why reinvent the wheel? Let's try to go with something that already works and that they're familiar with too.
Well, so... Do you think, so to be quite frank, I was not thinking we would do it every month because that's a bit ambitious given that like.
Well, we do it quarterly. That's fine too.
Yeah, but
quarterly.
You still think.
You know, four in the year. I'm just saying the book club that the library has.
You still think that even though we're going to do it every quarter instead of more frequently, that you think it's smart to pick the next whole year's worth at once?
Yeah, and nothing's in stone. You know, you could change it.
Right.
So, if you get the first book that catches some people, and then the set, you know, they already know what the other three books are going to be, but somebody says, "Hey, how about this one instead?" We go, "Yeah, okay."
Yeah. And the group decides, because that's what I would hope is that perhaps like maybe after the first one or two that like people in the group, you know, would feel invested and want to throw out their ideas of their own and be able to, you know, have group participation.
And so they get more comfortable talking about this very delicate subject. You know, all of our subjects that we've been talking about are, you know, religion and race and sexual orientation are very touchy-feely, makes people uneasy. And we're trying to open up the dialogue that, hey, we're all the same, you know? So
it sounds like the next step would be to make a general inquiry on social media, get a response, and then, or do you think we should also do inquiries through like the bulletin, or do you think social media is sufficient, or... We could use the library listserv to put out an inquiry and, you know.
I would ask Liz, out of the books that we just discussed, what does she think would draw some people? You know, the public. She's the librarian. She should, you know, have some knowledge of what actually interests people in Bolton. And are we barking up the wrong tree? Are we, you know.
Well, we are aiming for a slightly different audience by going with diversity issues. And we'll find out who thinks that's important. For the general part, I don't think a lot of people really won't bother with it. But for those that would be interested in it, maybe I do think that you're right, Cheryl, we should have the library involved and we really should use the town's different methods of communicating with the public, as opposed to social media. I mean, I know they use social media as well, but we need a broader approach than just one.
Right, the bulletin is a good idea.
And maybe even put it into the newspapers too. There, you know, a lot of people still read the paper and don't use social media.
Yeah, the JI.
Maybe even the Current or whatever that thing is called on.
You don't have to. If it's a community event, it's free.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a story.
I did not know that.
Well, it could be under the news from the library. It could even be put into the in the JI, the I think it's community happenings or and but you have to give them at least 2 weeks before the event. Or they won't bother putting it in. It has to be correct. At least 2 weeks.
Well, yeah. I mean, for this one, they would need, I mean, you usually give people several weeks, like a month.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So we shouldn't have a problem with the paper.
Right.
But, do you think, so something I'm struggling with is, and it's because I've never really done a book club per se before, is do you need to know the universe of people that are coming, or do you just kind of throw it out there and then the day of figure out who the heck shows up that?
Yeah, you have to depend on who comes. Yeah.
Okay.
And I would think it would be people that are actually interested in those different, various, diverse issues.
So, I mean, I can use social media to cultivate a group of people that say they would be interested and use that cohort to identify, you know, the, like throw out, these are some book options. What do you think is best? And then once that small cohort chooses the first book or two, then use the Bolton Bulletin, the rec newsletter, and the newspaper to put it more fully out there once we have the book identified. Is that?
Yeah, once we get a book.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah. Okay. But involve like, the town, because the town does have their social media present.
Yes. I think, so the one caveat is that if we want this to go in the Bolton Library newsletter and the Breck newsletter and stuff, it has to be town sanctioned.
It's coming from us, hopefully they'll allow it.
We have to bring it to the Board of Selectmen, I think.
Probably.
It's kind of.
Which part, the book or the book choice or the book club idea?
Yeah, the broad idea, I think.
We could ask the library just to choose it as their next book.
Or,
I think, well, they already have.
Love that. That might work, Cheryl. put the onus, you know, that's their thing. They're very familiar with banned books and controversy. I mean, librarians are one of our frontline folks that are saving our republic. They're willing to stand up for everybody being able to read what they want. And, you know, we're trying not to have books burned on the town green. We need to make a statement. And I hope the town goes along with it.
Yeah, I mean, she certainly was willing to go with it. I mean, if, you know, and there's one of two ways, right? I don't think the library is going to make every one of their next books, you know, something related to diversity or something like that. Could they do the next one? Or, you know, I don't know how far out they're booked in terms of their plan, you know, their current plan for books. And
well, we can go talk to them.
Yeah. I mean, they were certainly happy to help us. And I just want to put this on them because this is a commission-driven. Yeah.
I know in the past, the library has done banned books in April for Library Week. I've mentioned that it should be done again, and she said we've done it so many times, and it just they want to give that a break for a little while, but it's probably time to bring that back because it really is becoming a hot topic again.
So I mean, it seems like we have, and I can talk to Liz in general and say like, hey, the nonfiction route, the purely nonfiction route, the fiction storytelling route, or the classic book, a banned book approach would be best for our first book. And just get her opinion. And then while we're soliciting interest in the group, given, you know, I think probably would aim for probably like October for the first one, maybe, or September, certainly not summer months while people are gone, right? So.
Yeah, well, let's see what their schedule already is. And I bet some of the books that we've been talking about this evening are probably on a banned book list.
Yeah, I mean, we're not beholden to their schedule, right? They're not going to provide us the space to do this. This is kind of on our own, like, because they don't have a space. we could probably continue to use the town I guess they do use that table in the back of the library, but it's you know, it interrupts other people at the library, and it can only accommodate a certain number of people. So we could use Carrick Park potentially, or a meeting space, but that's something we would have to figure out. But we can do it according to whatever schedule we want. If we want this to be there, if we want them to do the first one, that's different. But yeah,
I think starting in September makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm not convinced that we need the Board of Selectmen for a rubber stamp. I mean, I think you could reach out to Pam and say, do we need approval for this, or can we just go ahead and hold a book club? I don't know.
Well, so we can absolutely hold a book club. What I was told by Liz is if we want to put it in the like rec newsletter or the library newsletter, then it needs to be town sanctioned.
Oh, I see. Oh, interesting. All right.
That was the differentiation, was to use their resources, it would need to be a town sanctioned thing.
I see. That makes sense. Yeah, so, I mean, we could make sure we get in front of the Board of Selectmen in August,
yep,
in anticipation of starting in September. And now I know that the library can collect copies of books from other libraries.
Yeah, yes, they're willing to do that.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I think we need to coordinate between the library and the Board of Selectmen.
Yes. All right. Anything else we are after 8 o'clock?
Okay.
Go ahead, Jen.
I just wanted to add that my friend who is a DJ said that he would be willing to DJ at any potential events that we may have in the future. So I just wanted to let you know that that is a option.
Awesome. Thank you.
We're a DJ. We just need an event that we can attend ourselves to in a non-challenging way.
Yeah.
Jennifer, would your friend charge us for that, or would that be pro bono?
I think he would do it for free, because when I chatted with him, I didn't mention anything like that. I just told him I was on the diversity committee and if he would be interested in doing a town event, and he said yes. Okay. So he's like pretty well known. He's won like best of like Hartford Magazine DJ of the Year like multiple times. His name is Christian Kahar, but he lives in Manchester, and he is Central American heritage.
Cool.
All right.
Sounds like we should have a dance.
Yeah.
Does anybody, I mean, I knew Rio was going to make it, and Paul is generally here. I don't know if anybody's got a good connection with him. He hasn't been here lately, or anybody has a good connection with Milton. I can email them and just say, hey, we haven't seen you guys in a while. But I don't know if anybody else has any other connections to try and draw them back in to our work.
Yeah, I don't know about Dan. He's only been here once or twice. It seems like he has something else going on.
Yeah, he does horse teaching, right?
I don't know. With his horses.
I can actually try to reach out to Milton on LinkedIn. He's in my network, first network.
Yeah, good. Because he hasn't been here in quite a while either.
Yeah.
I should speak. I haven't been here in a while either, but.
No worries. We have good discussions and move the needle forward, so. Anything else for discussion before we adjourn for the evening? I'm just glad we got some of those minutes out of the way, because they were really piling up there.
I want to thank you again, Amanda, for all the work that you're doing on that survey. It's amazing.
Okay.
You're an amazing, I mean, like I said, it's Greek to me, but it's amazing.
We'll make it sense to everybody, ideally, in the end.
A lot of the written responses at the end, I think, is really the meat of what people think.
Yeah.
And that we probably, that should be going through and maybe published or, I don't know, synthesized down into.
Yeah, I mean, so ultimately, we'll pull together a report, but I will make the spreadsheet of all of the responses. I will be giving that to the town, the raw data, so that they, it'll be posted with the report, so that if people want to see the raw data and that we didn't, you know, manipulate it, yada, 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 that it is there for because it is all
One more thing. I think we probably need to check with the Board of Selectmen to see, are we going to continue past October? Because this was a 1 year.
Yeah.
And,
I'm inclined to think that, yes.
I would hope so.
I think they will.
I share that feeling of optimism.
I'd like to share that feeling of optimism.
Yeah.
But we probably should double check just to make sure.
No, I did hear from, and that's a question I from Liz Waters on. She sent us an email saying we needed to choose what are we called? The chair. What are those called?
Oh, election. Well, we need to
that we needed to choose people to lead our
That's probably due.
So they said it because it was July or something, so we needed to redo that. And I asked her, do we need to do that because we're less than a year old? And she never got back to me.
Put it on the agenda for August and maybe ask her again.
Okay.
Because I know we just did that on the Public Building Commission. We just re-chose the chair we had.
You guys were less than a year old too, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, all right. So then we do
but
need
that
to.
That was something that they got from the town hall.
Okay.
I assume it's from the, I thought it was from the selectman's office, but it could have been Liz.
It was from the town clerk.
Everything has to go through Liz. So, and we can't do it tonight because it wasn't on the agenda. So your nomination will be put off for a month.
Nominate and choose in August.
Yeah, it's the one thing we usually, it's just nominating a chair.
Sounds like a plan. Sorry to be so ignorant of processes.
That's okay.
All right, guys, enjoy this sticky evening and stay cool. We will see you soon, maybe at the concert. All right.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.